Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Blair and Serena from Gossip Girl. I don't know if y'all remember that shit, but they're gay as fuck, and the only reason I even like tuned in was to watch their chemistry. So shout out Blake Lively and Leighton Meester. ¿Cómo se dice?
Meester. Yeah, Blake Lively, like her acting alone in these like little roles is like the reason alone that I'm mostly accepting of straight people playing queer characters. I'm like, but she just does it so well,
dude. Do you remember like Traveling Pants, where she was like a soccer player, and I was like, can the bitch be gay though?
Oh my god, I forgot about that. Yes, that? Soccer, yeah, like, women, yes. Who play soccer, hit me up.
hit up my team. Hit her up.
What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? And for those of you that don't know, I'm Fried Papita.
And I'm Maite.
And we're CYC.
And we are Latinos who love...
I love that shit. So anyways, it's been a minute. Like, it's been like a couple weeks since we recorded, and so much crazy shit has happened in the world that we're not gonna touch on, because it's fucking violent and horrible, and... instead, we're going to talk about happy shit. So, Maite, what's going on with you? I know you have news.
I do have some news. Before we get into that, though, I want to, like, just give a quick shout-out to all our, like, new followers that are coming in from the iTunes feature, Hispanic Heritage Month, or what it should be, Latino Heritage Month. And so, hi to everybody that is new to the podcast. We've, like, spiked quite a bit, so thanks to iTunes.
Shout out iTunes. And it's not like we haven't said anything about like Latinx Heritage Month, but because like it's literally every fucking day of our lives, so fuck a month. But thank you, we appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. We love, but it, yeah, a lot. I do have some news. Some of you might have noticed that today's episode came out in a day earlier than it normally would. And that's, God, because today we are, or not we, but I'm going to be at NALIP's Latino Media Fest just for a little bit. It's at AMC Century City here in West LA.
What? Go meet her up.
Yeah, if you don't know what that is, we posted a little bit on our social media, but basically it's like an event for diverse and mostly Latinx content creators and film enthusiasts. And it's like just kind of this community coming together to like try to advance their careers. There's panels, master classes, screenings, networking mixers, and there's a whole bunch of stuff. And you can get like single tickets for like single events if you don't want to do the whole festival, or you can do the whole damn thing. And there's going to be like short films being showcased, and there's Latinx and queer creators there, so that's mainly what I'm going to be looking for. At the same damn time, yeah. So, and that's hosted by NALIP, which, if you guys don't know, is the National Association of Latino Independent Producers, and they're kind of like us. They advocate and they promote like Latinx content creators and all kinds of media, like everything, narrative, documentary, television, digital. So, I mean, if you guys want to go, like, hit it up. I'm going to be there at the very least today, and I'm going to be hopefully talking to a few creators soon.
Yes, holla at your girl while you're out there, and if not, then just, like, meet up, get some stickers. It'll be a really fun time, and I'm super jelly, but shout out to all the LA peeps. Go out there.
Yeah, but hopefully you're coming down here soon, too.
Oh, yes. I'm excited. That's going to be really fucking fun and interesting, and I can't wait. I'm going to... gonna hang out with you in LA again. That was actually a lot of fun last time, so
yeah, I think it's gonna be a great time. And it's, I mean, honestly, it's gonna be kind of a working trip for you, but I mean, working on the podcast, most of the time it doesn't even feel like work.
It doesn't, honestly. This never feels like work. This is my escape from work. It's a good way to get out of like things. I'm just like, oh, sorry, I have to go do homework, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, so if we already have quite a long list of people that we're wanting to invite onto the show. And we're also obviously going to have a limited amount of time, but if you guys have somebody in mind here in like the LA area that you want us to interview, or that maybe you know that could want to be on the show, that is, you know, a POC or queer or both type of content creator or representation of any sort or form, just give us
holla
a DM
at your girls. We'll meet them up and we'll go from there. That sounds like really sounds good.
Yeah, we're at CYC Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. We're at cycpodcastmail@gmail.com. So any suggestions are welcome. Just leave us a message and we'll get back to you pretty quickly.
Gracias. Moving towards something a little bit interesting that's been happening on the interwebs. Miss Gina Rodriguez had some words. And,
with the anti-blackness. Like, what's, ooh, honestly, like, yes. I think a lot of it has been stuff in the past has been stuff that could be like taken the wrong way or kind of like spiraled a little bit, but this one was so blatant.
Yeah, like, so dude. She was doing press for Smallfoot with
Yara Shahid. I'm saying that wrong.
Exactly. You've seen her from Blackish. They're doing press and the interviewer very nicely says something to Yara Shahidi, and he's like, thank you, you know, your impact on black women. And then Gina's like, no, all women. And all of us collectively cringed when we saw that, and we're like, really, Gina, don't insert yourself, please, for once, don't insert yourself, girl. We want to root for, I like, what's really messed up is like, I really want to root for her, like I really want her to like be out here, but I also want her to like stop.
There's so many Latinos out there that are kind of misled, you know what I mean, like in their attempts to try to like whatever be super empowering to our community, which like that's great to support the Latinx community, like that's fantastic, but that doesn't mean you have to shun everybody else. That's why we've always been very adamant on this show about talking about all sorts of POC media, like not just Latinos.
Well, yeah, and there's another it's a weird thing about being like Latinx is that like there's a weird anti-blackness in our culture, and like the thing is that being black doesn't exclude you from being Latino or Latinx. Like those things are
not
mutually exclusive at all. So it's kind of like, I don't know what she means by like all women, or when she tries to talk over black women, it's like, there is such a thing as both being black and Latina, and it exists and it's real. So shut up, please. I want to root for you, girl. Just like sit down, reevaluate what your concept of what being Latino is and Latinx. And like, I want her to read a book, talk to more like, and she's from New York, bro. Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, what? How are you like anti-Afro-Latinx, but you're from New York City? I'm confused.
Yeah, and this is actually, you know, I've seen it more than, like you said, it's something that's kind of embedded in the Latino community is, like, this, in like, anti-blackness. Like, she's not the only one. Like, Salma Hayek had problems with talking over black women in the past, too. Like, just, I don't know, it's just, like, let everybody speak. And yeah, do not forget that Latino does not mean not black.
Exactly, and so that's why I'm like, all Latinos need to like reevaluate what it means to them to be like Latinx, because it doesn't make sense to me, especially when people try to talk over black women. It's like, wait, like everyone's experience, that's what we're fighting for everyone's experiences to be valid and to be heard and to be, you know, special and important. So it's kind of like, okay, Gina, yes, but calm down, apply it to yourself and let other people speak, and we'll be fine out here, girl. We'll be good. We'll be Gucci.
Well, I don't understand. It's like, what is her publicity team doing? Like, she's done this several times, gotten critiques several times. At some point, you gotta like, it's gotta hammer in, right? It's gotta hammer in that you're doing something wrong.
I think the thing is that like, they don't surround themselves. They're probably just surrounded by a bunch of white people all the time. I don't know her life, right? I don't know. I'm not gonna make that judgment, but at the same time, it's like, guys, like, be better. When the internet tells you something, listen and go, you know what, actually this general consensus on Twitter is actually, that's a good point, you know, like let me do that. And I heard she just got cast for something else, and I'm just kind of like, okay, Gina, but get a black woman to do your PR and get her to help you, please. Like, I just want her to do better. I want to root for her. She can do it
or something, man. But you know, I actually ended up going and watching Smallfoot on opening night because my coworkers wanted to see it, and I was like, okay, whatever, let's go.
It looks really cute. I'm not hating
it's
that.
It's pretty adorable, and it's like really surprisingly critical about humanity.
lit. That's what we need. Yeah. We are trash, y'all. We are like, super mega trash out here.
It's a kids movie, right? So, like, of course, they're going to, like, end it on, like, a kind of a hopeful note. But it did not hold back. Like, it was straight up hammering in, like, these are all the faults in the logic of the masses and humanity. Like, whenever a bunch of people get together, they make some stupid decisions. Like, so I thought it was really, really interesting at how hard they went with it.
So they pulled, like, a Wall-E. Because Wall-E was kind of, like, the same thing. It was, like, a critique of, like, humans and how bad they can get.
Definitely. It didn't have so much the environmental factor. It was really more, like, how the masses treat anything that's different from the status quo. You know what I mean? And, like, ooh, assumptions.
Okay, word. Xenophobia? Go off.
Yeah, xenophobia. That's a really good way to describe it, for sure.
Okay, go on, Smallfoot.
That was pretty cool.
Look at that. Children's movies out here really, like, doing the most, and I just need to watch more.
It's because they know. They know that a parent has to go with the kid.
They have to make it tolerable for them spending. They have to, like, okay, well, you spend $18. Let's give you a reason as to why, like, to make this small human and you happy. So that's good. Shout out to them writers.
For sure. And it was just generally cute. Common was in it, and he had a nice little rap, if you're in it for that.
Common has been in, like, everything lately. He was in this HBO movie with, like, Laura Dern the other day, and I was like, shout out Common. Like, he's really out here. He's in the Shy. I pronounced it right. The Shy. and I can't remember this other movie with Laura Dern, but it was like, I see you, Common. I see you. You're thriving.
Nice. Well, so today's episode is going to be a little peculiar. It's not exactly what we normally do, which is concentrate on, like, two pieces of media or one sometimes. This time, we're just going to talk about a fuck ton of stuff.
Because there was a fuck ton of stuff that came out in the month of September, and we, like, are just trying to catch up and, like, keep up with everything that's coming out every weekend.
And surprisingly, like, with the two of us combined, we have created one super team that was capable of watching mostly everything that we needed to watch.
Yeah, we really did. I'm really proud of us because, like, I was sick for a weekend. I was out of, like, town for a weekend, like, and completely away from technology. And I'm just like, I am out here making it work. Let's go, lesbians. We are rounding the corner, lesbians.
I don't know which one to start with. Maybe should we go in order of, like, when they came out? Or, like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, so I'm actually super interested to hear about A Simple Favor just because it has, like, super big fucking names, like
Billy Clay and Anna Kendrick.
yes, the two people we both wanted to be, like, play queer for, like, the longest time.
For me, it was Anna Kendrick for sure, just because of the whole Pitch Perfect thing that I've kind of talked about a few times.
The Becca Chloe situation, right, I understand, right. You and for me, it was because Blake Lively was a soccer player and the traveling pants, so.
But it was, like, really surprisingly fun and interesting. And actually, I watched it with Angel from Let Me Know Pod, who's sitting right next to me. And
hey, shout out.
And shout out. I thought it was, like, such a fun and interesting movie. Like, I didn't expect it to be good. Honestly, I had pretty, like, low hopes for it. I was just like, oh, there's something slightly gay in it. Let me go. And
the reviews for the book were really bad.
They were. So. They were, exactly. I was like, why did y'all make it then? But I don't know. Anyways, yeah, it was based on the book of the same name. And, like, what was fun to me is in the press and, you know, all the press that they do prior to the movies, Anna Kendrick ended up kind of, like, cracking open her closet door. And she was like,
that's right.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, like, my sexuality kind of was reflected a lot more in Blake Lively's character, who was, like, really fluid, if you will. And I was like, hold up, Anna Kendrick, you couldn't have done this for Pitch Perfect. So, like, this one and another movie that I'm going to talk about in a little bit, they were both kind of, like, a lot funnier than I expected. And I did expect this to be funny because of Anna Kendrick. Like, nobody casts Anna Kendrick in a movie and expects that movie to not be funny, right? Like, Twilight number one was
actually
only
in The Accountant, she was, like, super serious. Did you ever see The Accountant? She was super serious.
Oh, even in The Accountant, I thought she kind of brought, like, she was a way to relieve some tension.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. She brought, like, a light to it that I was not expecting in that movie. Mm-hmm.
That was a really good movie, by the way. Anyways, what really impressed me, one of the things was, like, how they represented the parents in that, because a lot of it was about being a parent and what that should be and what that should look like. And they had such a variety of parents kind of showcased and parenting styles, and I was like actually like pretty pleasantly surprised by that. Another thing was like, which is making none of the characters be strictly good or strictly bad. Like everybody kind of walks a line, everybody does really questionable things, and in this particular movie I felt like you didn't really know who to root for, which oh, I was okay. like
that's kind of surprising.
Yeah, because usually you're like, oh, Anna Kendrick, she's the good one. Like, no, Anna Kendrick is kind of wild.
Really? Now I really want to watch this, because all you had to say was Anna Kendrick's kind of wild. I'm like into it. That's interesting. Like, do they play with like gender and sexuality at all?
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, Blake Lively's character is incredibly interesting when it comes to that. She's like super new age about it, I guess is the best way to describe it.
Because, I mean, those suits are literally everything. I think I aspire to be as cool as her. So they based her suits off the director who she said she met. And she's like, I just want to dress like you, bro.
And then her press outfits. Like, she went all out.
I love what she's wearing. I'm just like, yes, bitch, give me androgyny. This is everything. So I don't know. Shout out to Blake Lively.
Honestly, outfits. I can never wear a tuxedo or a suit. I could never wear one because I won't even look a tenth as good as she does.
I think everyone looks good in suits. I think you can look good in a suit.
But she just took it to a new level, man. But let's go over one of the movies that you watched.
Super different movies. Well, I don't know. I didn't watch Simple Favor. I will, though, after this. So I watched Lizzie. It's actually really cool because it has Chloe Sevigny, okay, and Kristen Stewart as lovers at leads. Look, it's queer. That's what matters. And okay, so if you don't know about the Lizzie Borden story, it's about this like 32-year-old white woman who's super rich up in like New England, kills her father and her stepmother and gets away with it because men are stupid.
Spoiler alert, girl.
Oh no, this is history. This is like
no, but it's not. Lizzie Borden's story is like super famous from remaining a somewhat unsolved thing. Like there's a bunch of different theories, and even Lizzie, from what I know, it's just one guess at what happened.
This is one theory, and I'm not gonna give that theory, but like, you know, that's the story. You know, you can do a Google search before you watch this movie, and you're gonna know that. I mean, I thought everyone knew about Lizzie though, so I just want to give that away because that's the history of it.
Yeah, it is based on reality. It's a real story that people aren't 100% sure on.
You know, spoiler alert. You know, spoiler alert. This happened in like 18 something, so or 19 something. I don't know. It's old as fuck, guys. But no, it's really good. And the things that I found interesting about this movie was really like the acting and the choices that like the directors and the writers made with the characters. I'm not gonna give too much away with what they did with everyone, but Chloe Sevigny actually produced this movie, and my only problem, again, because representation, is that she got a man to both write and direct this movie, but she personally chose the screenplay writer, so I guess we're okay with that. But there were some choices made that I found kind of interesting, because it's really a story that's perfect for this time right now, because we're going through the Me Too movement, we're going through the Supreme Court hearings, we're just being a woman right now is very interesting, because we've all kind of decided to be on the same page when it comes to like women's rights, at least, you know, not 53% of us, the rest of us, right? And it's like kind of watching a movie where women are like, they're not woke yet, and Lizzie's like the woke one, and you have to kind of watch her deal with being kind of above everyone, of being this fucking literal sharpest knife in the room every single time. And like, props to this writing. I really love what they did with her character. I really like how the plot came through, because like, okay, yes, we know the story, but at the same time, I actually want to give its praise, because like Chloe Sevigny is like out here acting her ass off as per usual, and her character's not doing very conventional things or easy things. And what her character is actually supposed to like show us, who she's portraying and all the, you know, many nuances of this human being, like I feel like she does a really good job. And I feel like their, you know, I'm not going to give it away. I kind of did earlier. My bad. But what they're trying to say about Lizzie is about a woman who's so oppressed that she had to fight back and take back her power. And that, like, it's kind of saying, like, you have the ability as well to take back your power, but at what cost? Like, what? How much does your freedom, you know, what are you willing to pay for that freedom as a woman, as someone who's oppressed? Like, what are you willing to do? How far are you willing to go to get your freedom? And I thought that was, like, a super interesting concept that I was left with after the movie. I was just kind of like, whoa, like, is it worth it? Like, is it worth to go that far? And, you know, shout out to fucking, you know, Kristen Stewart. She really just, like, played who she was in Twilight. You know, lots of, like, silence and, you know, glares and looks. And
she was in Twilight.
She played the same person, bro. It was just, like, her, like, looking away from the camera. But it's okay. It's fine. Because Chloe Sevigny carries it, because her fucking personality. She's just a boss-ass bitch from beginning to end. And I guess what the writers kind of left me with was kind of, like, I disagreed with what the writers decided to tell us and how it kind of ended up. Because honestly, you know, I really want to spoil it because there's some hot takes I have, but I'm not going to unless you let. Okay. All I'm saying is that Lizzie Borden is a ride or die bitch. And I would have fucking, look, that would have been my number one. I would have never left her. We would have been together forever because, like, she's a ride or die. And look, she's the realest one in this movie. And no, I'd keep her. That's just all I'm gonna say about her. And I give the movie, like, 3.5 pan dulces, just because, like, the, you know, guy directed and wrote it. I get it. It's cool. Chloe Sevigny at least produced it, and she's amazing. She's been queer in other things and so many other things. So go look her up. She's amazing. And shout out to this movie. It's not that bad.
Shout out to this movie. It's not that bad. Somebody put that on shirt.
Yeah, like Lizzie, there wasn't a part where I looked away. There was even people in the movie theater that got really into it. For people to say that, like, people of color are the ones that are, like, loud in movie theaters, let me tell you, I was in a room full of old white people and they were loud as fuck and talking to the movie, and I was like, can y'all shut the fuck up? But also, this is hilarious. So, like, you ever seen white people heckle a movie? This shit was funny to me.
I don't think so.
Yeah, white people were heckling in this movie, and it was fucking hilarious slash annoying. So, yeah, I was like, all right then, go off, white people.
Well, I definitely want to see it. Like, it slipped through the cracks. Like, it, like, came out, and nobody was talking about it, including us. Like, even we were like, oh, shit, it's out? Like, okay.
Yeah, you had to remind me. I was like, oh, shit, yeah, I do want to watch that movie.
Yeah, the release wasn't even that wide. Like, I haven't been able to see it because I don't want to fucking go to all the way to Hollywood to see it. But maybe I will. Maybe I'll do it.
Just make a day out of it. Make, like, a day trip and be like, fuck it, I'll be out here for a couple hours anyways.
Yeah, so we'll see. But yeah, I guess the next one that I'll talk about was another surprising one for me, which is Predator.
Really? Predator? Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know if you, like, heard a lot about the controversy that was going on with that movie.
No, please tell me. I want
to
know.
Olivia Munn was pissed, and she had to fight pretty much on her own to get a scene cut out of the movie after she found out that they had cast someone who had a significant scene with her in the movie who knowingly was an abuser.
Yeah, I heard he was like a child predator, right?
I forgot because it's been a minute, but I just know that they were like...
Okay, so, you know, yeah, I kind of remember he was like texting like a 14-year-old and kind of grooming her, and like... I think they tried to say that, like, oh, well, it didn't go any further than that. And it's like, I'm sorry, what grown man needs to text a 14-year-old who isn't his daughter? You know, like, just text your kid and be like, but that's not your kid, bro. That's just a 14-year-old who you're grooming.
Like, we're looking at you, Drake.
Oh, yes, we are looking at you, Drake, who I saw at the Kali Uchis concert. And that was weird because he's really light-skinned. Anyways.
Okay.
I don't know. He's just, like, as light as me. I looked at him and was like, what the hell? Like, oh my god.
Anyways, stay away from Kali Uchis and 14-year-old girls. Okay, anyways.
Yes, por favor.
But yeah, Olivia Munn was, like, on her own fighting to get this scene cut. Like, don't give this man screen time. And, like, the fact that people involved in the making of this film knew that about the charges that had gone against this man and still cast him, like, was super trash. And that she had to fight to get it removed, which it did get removed, which is why I went and saw it. Oh, but I was surprised. Like, honestly, like, it reminded me a lot of like in the 80s when you'd have like weird, crazy like action movies that were maybe not top-notch quality, but they were entertaining as hell. Like every single moment was super, super fun. And it was riddled with plot holes, but you didn't care because it was so much fun.
So basically Fast and the Furious.
I guess. I stopped watching after a while. It has kind of low ratings and it's justified, but it was just so much fun to watch. And like, the way I guess I can describe this is like, it had the same problem that the latest Power Rangers movie had. Because it classified a character as autistic and forgot about 30 minutes into the movie. It's like, this character is supposed to be autistic. But they definitely did more interesting things with it, I would say. But still, it's like, dude, you just completely forgot. And then there was, surprisingly, like two surprise gay characters in it who were very two-dimensional. But then again, in the whole thing was very two-dimensional.
You're like, everybody kind of sucked a little.
Yeah, everybody was just kind of there to entertain you, you know what I mean? But yeah, all I can say is that it tried to represent some people and it was a super fun movie and it has every plot hole in it that you can think of, but it's pretty good. It was pretty enjoyable. I would recommend watching it at least once.
Okay, that you've convinced me. All you had to say was like there were queer people, surprise queer characters. I'm into it.
Yeah. For sure. And it was funny, right? Like, had some funny moments. Some of the jokes were like, okay, it's funny because it was so not funny. Like, it was that kind of a funny.
Oh, God.
Which is one that I appreciate. That's,
like, my brand of humor. It's my brand of humor.
Yeah, I would say, like, one cafecito on this one because you have to kind of, you need a little bit of coffee to be, like, able to keep up with all the nonsense.
Oh, God. Damn. Okay, girl.
Still worth watching, I would say.
I watch it when it comes on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like it definitely would be a Netflix movie, like Netflix quality, like you know, that they would get.
When you're just like, you know, tendiendo la cama, you know, with your sabanas and shit, you know, you're just minding your business. Yeah. I mean, Olivia Munn, shout out to her for being brave because, like, I saw, like, none of her castmates were, like, would do press with her anymore. Like,
yeah, somebody like literally walked out during an interview. Like, such a trash cast for doing that. But Olivia Munn is a shit.
Yeah, shout out to her. Like, you never want to be on the wrong side of history on that. And they're all proving to be. Except for, I think, we're not getting into it. Like, it's so much, but it's trash, guys. Yeah. Olivia Munn, we
just
love you.
Google it, loca.
Google it, loca.
But I'm really excited to hear about Colette. Yeah. This is the one that I really, really want to see. And I've been waiting for it to come to a theater near me and I really want to hear about
girl, let me tell you. Okay, no, so Colette, this is gonna be interesting. Colette is fucking amazing. For everyone that's been in love with Keira Knightley since she did Pirates of the Caribbean,
no, since she did Bend It Like Beckham.
Oh my God, yes, let's keep it 1,000 since Bend It Like Beckham. Okay, y'all, okay, this is everything you ever wanted, is a short-haired Keira Knightley being androgynous. Like, this is, oh my God, girl. Okay, so let me start off by saying, if she doesn't get nominated for shit, I'm gonna be really fucking mad because Keira Knightley is actually acting her ass off in this movie. Like, there were scenes in this movie where I was just like, oh my God, they're gonna fucking send this clip to the Academy. This one right here, bitch. Right here.
It's Oscar season, like, bitch. Let's do it.
Oscar season, bitch. Let's at least nominate Keira Knightley. I don't know if she'll win, but she should be nominated because, seriously, some of the people they've been nominating, I really. Anyways, side-eyeing a lot of shit right now. But it's a great movie. It's based on the 20th century writer, same name, Siboney Gabrielle Colette. She wrote over like 80 novels in her lifetime.
Holy and shit.
Yeah, a boss ass bitch. She wrote 80 fucking novels.
That's what you do when there's no TV around.
Exactly. And she was writing some interesting stuff, girl. Okay, so it starts off with her marrying off some guy named Willie. He's a book publisher. He's kind of an asshole, but oddly enough, his character is played by Dominic West from The Wire. He's actually like a very good, I don't know, comedic relief in the movie, also the main antagonist, so it's like a weird balance.
Interesting.
Like, he's both Yeah, he's both like an asshole, but like a funny, charming asshole, which, I mean, I get it. That's good writing. Like, it's meant to show us why Colette is having such a problem. You know, like the reality of a human being is that they're not always shitheads. They're sometimes they're charming, funny, hilarious shitheads. And that's what he is. So he actually added a really interesting element to the movie, because where Colette was like serious and, you know, a sexy character, or, you know, I only say that because like she's like the definition of like confidence and swagger, you know, and that's like very like attractive, period. And she's playing that person for the whole movie, and I'm just like, I love you, Keira Knightley. You're doing so good, sweetie. Like, I was just
you're doing great, sweetie.
But like, I felt her acting was great. I felt like maybe the story and the plot is where maybe it could have been better. You know, because if it's based on someone's life who, you know, this woman was, okay, let's get into it. It's doing a lot with gender, sexuality, women's rights. And I feel like it didn't kind of find its focus, you know, because when, you know, when it gets overwhelmed and there's too many things happening at the same time, and then he's like, oh, well, I want to do a little of this. I want to do a little of that. And it ends up getting blurry because you're not being direct, you know. Like, I feel like had they made a more concise decision to say, okay, we're gonna make this about gender and sexuality and women's empowerment versus we're gonna try to do like all of the things and make it a movie about also how women can, like, you know, rise above all the bullshit, and it's just there's too many elements in there and not enough focus, and that's where it kind of falls apart is plot wise but girl, there is a character in there that is like butch representation or trans representation, but, you know, because early French 20th century people didn't have the language for like trans or like
non-binary, you know,
gender non-conforming, non-binary, like that wasn't really a thing yet, but people were living their truth already. And so I found that really interesting is that she meets a character that, you know, we're not going to define as trans because we don't know, but they're definitely non-binary, they're definitely gender queer, and shout out to having that kind of representation, although super white movie, right? What else do we expect? But actually well done, and well, like, we never get like butch representation in that way, and there's sex scenes in there that are very like honest. I feel they were like portrayed correctly. Like, if you know, I was giving it a grade, like, I'd say that that's pretty it's pretty like a pretty real scene, you know, like that. I agree, you know, I checked that box and said, okay, cool, they got like a queer person to say this is how it's done, so I appreciate that. And I appreciate that, like, Colette wasn't, like, she also seemed kind of genderqueer. Like, there wasn't, like, a point where, like, sometimes you see her in a suit, sometimes you see her in a dress, and she kind of play with her gender, and sometimes she was just androgynous, and I thought that was really great, too. Like, as far as their representation about being genderqueer and, like, expression of, like, your gender, I thought that was really well done versus them trying to do a billion other things and trying to make a charming antagonist, which annoyed the fuck out of me because I was just like, you're gonna make the bad guy funny and charming, like, fuck you. But yeah, he's great. So that was my only problem with the writing. So it was actually really, really good, dude. Like, I don't know, I thought it was really good. I'm going to watch it again.
Oh, wow. That's a rewatchable. I definitely want to watch it. And surprisingly, my coworkers really want to watch it. And that's an important thing to mention on my side, because I always watch movies with my coworkers. But yeah, I'm super stoked for that.
I mean, you know, I'm giving it a really good rating. But again, I want you to remember, like, the plot is doing, like, it doesn't find its focus and it's not clear. Like, I wouldn't give it, like, 5 pan dulces at all. Like, I'd give it maybe 3.5 pan dulces, but I was just surprised because I thought it was going to be just so much worse.
Oh, really? I had pretty decent expectations.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be trash.
Like, Keira Knightley's trash. She's a great actress, and I thought that it was an interesting concept, you know? A woman who was technically a ghostwriter.
Shout out Drake. Again.
No, not shout out.
No, like, the thing, right? And to shout out. the only thing about it is that, like, again, you're supposed to fucking hate him because he's profiting off of, you know, women's labor. He's taking all the credit as per usual. This is, like, super the story of, like, all women's lives. If you're an artist or any creative back in the day, like, you know, Big Eyes, like, you would never get credit for your work. So I thought that was really good that they did that. But at the same time, I'm just annoyed because this is too reflective of our society. But whatever.
It's too representative. It's a good movie. It's too good.
Yeah. It's like, oh, thanks for capturing all the nuance of how much it sucks to be us. But but also it's super great because at least we get this part of it and that part's fun. But again, the movie is trying to do a lot of things and doesn't really find its focus. But Keira Knightley is acting her ass off. And Dominic West is also acting his ass off and being kind of likable for being a dirtbag. But that's how you know men directed it, for making the dirtbag likable. So I guess shout out to men directors and men writers. Thanks a lot for making my movie less gay. But whatever, bro. It's really good.
For sure. So now I guess to kind of close off and end off the episode, I kind of just want to talk about a bunch of the stuff that we've been watching in general. Like, doesn't have to be a movie, doesn't have to be like a blockbuster picture. I just kind of want to rant about September.
In September,
yeah, wake me up when it ends.
Okay, I'll stop. Yeah, I know, sorry. You like it when it ends, and I just like the Earth, Wind, and Fire version. But anyways, what have I been watching? I watched a Kusama documentary that was kind of like basically along the lines of Colette. Like, a lot of her ideas were stolen by famous artists like Andy Warhol, and like everyone copied her and got famous, more famous than her. But, you know, sucks for them because she's the most original artist of, like, I don't know, 21st century, for two centuries. Like, shout out Kusama. Like, Yayoi Kusama's the shit, and she knows we liked pop art, and she basically fucking did it before everyone else. So I love that fucking documentary. It's so good, dude.
That's cool. I've been, like, really, really addicted to this anime called Food Wars.
Food Wars?
Food Wars, is it the one, yeah,
where they fight at, like, the grocery store for, like, bento boxes, or no?
Not exactly.
Okay.
I've actually been, like, really inspired by this show because, like, I just... What? My favorite part of anime has always been just watching, like, how they animate food and how, like, fucking delicious it looks. So I looked for something that was, like, that was heavily concentrated on that. And boy, did I fucking find the show for me. Because, like, this shit is, like... I don't know how they do it. Because literally the concept of the show is what you see in every single episode. The concept of the show is Shokugeki, which is a battle between two cooks, or normally two cooks. So one cook is cooking a dish based on a theme, and the other one does the same, and then they taste it, and whichever is better is the winner. This entire show, which has like 70 episodes or something like that, is based around that concept. God. Every single episode is that. They have done something that, like, I strive to do, which is take such a simple concept, a food war, and, like, somehow make it just the most entertaining thing and make characters develop, like, throughout the story through their cooking. Like, you see characters grow in, like, as chefs, and you see their personalities intertwined with their dishes. Like, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Like, if somebody can do that, like, you can do anything, you know what I mean? Like, if somebody can just, like, make it so that a bowl of ramen represents what this person has experienced, I can write about anything. Like, it's inspired me so much, dude.
That's so cool. Like, we love a fucking, like, story arc. Look at that character development. Watch out now. And then, part is how they animated the food, right?
The whole thing is just food, and they show you the whole process. Like, how this person, like, cooks it from end to finish. They even go into the historical reasons of the certain dishes and the regions where they're found. Like, they do not skimp out. It's almost like a fucking documentary mixed with an awesome plot, mixed with, like, fighting, mixed with, like, the usual anime perviness that is in every single anime.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
But it's across the board. It's all it's gender inclusive, so it's really great.
What?
And I was actually kind of bothered because I saw it and I was like, there's a very obvious, like, two chicks that I'm like, oh, they're into each other. But I was like, oh, they never really develop it. And then I was, but I can't be mad about it because they do the same thing with everybody. Like, no hetero relationships develop. Like, there's no relationships that develop between anybody. It's just a person and their food. And it's great.
Shout out to equality. That's what we mean when we say equality. Okay, y'all? That's what we mean.
Continuity. Like, it's great.
Yes. Oh my God.
Consistency. Anime. There you go. That's the word I'm looking for. It's amazing.
Consistency. Yes. Give it. Oh my God. No, I have not. Other than that, like, I think I just watched, like, Maniac, which is. Okay. All right. I have a lot of criticisms of Jonah Hill. But Emma Stone is in it, and I don't have as many of her. And in fact, I think I actually like her now because her acting is grade A, spot on, and she's playing like 15 different characters in this fucking show, and it's like amazing. I can't. But you know why I like it? Cary Fukunaga, who directed the first season of True Detective, and he also directed Sin Nombre. It's like this story about immigration. He actually rode on a train. He didn't do it the whole way, but he actually rode on like La Bestia, like the train from like Central America that goes through Mexico. Like, he actually did the damn thing. So I stan him, and I'll watch anything that he directs. So
that's dope. I haven't gone in to watch that show yet because there's been so many other things to watch.
So many things.
It's like, it's fall, so everything's coming back. Oh, and speaking of, like, a couple weeks ago, our Purge episode came out. And we didn't even talk about it, but there's also a spin-off Purge series that recently came out, which has butch representation that is pretty interesting. It has some like WLW representation too. It's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And like, there's like Latinos in it. I mean, there's a lot going on in that show.
I thought we did, or maybe like I'm just thinking about that like in my mind that we did. But and I've heard the episode. I thought we did. Maybe. But yes, queer people, go watch it.
Yeah.
Come on, lesbians. Let's go, lesbians.
Shameless is back. Shameless, they brought in, they got rid of a gay character, but then they kind of are developing another main character in a certain way that I won't spoil, but they're doing some interesting stuff. Ingobernable is back, so I binged that.
Yes.
I gotta say, I love the first season way better.
Okay.
But it's still good. Worth watching.
I've only seen like the first episode of season two, so that tells you where I am in that shit. So
there's also a new show that came out called A Million Little Things, which is a lot about mental health. I read the pilot a while back and I was pretty interested in it, so I was excited to see it like created and made into an actual show.
I heard bad things about that show. I haven't heard good things.
You'll have to link me because I haven't yet.
Okay. Yeah.
But the pilot was written and shot pretty much exactly the same.
Okay. All right. That's something. But yeah, I'm just haven't heard anything good about it yet. But I always give everything a try except for Insatiable. But anyways,
the 3-episode rule, man.
Yeah. You're the one that told me about that, so now I have to I try to stick to it basically. But yeah. I don't.
For sure.
What else have I? September. I can't.
BoJack Horseman came back.
Oh yes, and I heard Issa Rae is like queer in it, like, well, her character.
They do a really, really good episode with Issa Rae and Wanda Sykes doing the storytelling as a lesbian couple. Like, they break the fourth wall in a way that I like. Like, I like Deadpool, but I don't like the way that they break the fourth wall. The way that they did so in this episode was perfect.
It's just enough. Anytime I hear someone breaking like the wall, I always think of like Chowder. Do you remember Chowder?
No, I never saw Chowder.
It's like this old show about food and where if you were on drugs, like it was like the best thing to watch because like the food starts talking and has a personality and it's like, this is everything I ever wanted. But yeah, shout out to Breaking Fourth Walls. And what's that show again?
BoJack Horseman?
Yeah, it's the newest season, right?
Mm-hmm, the brand new season 5. That whole show is kind of really, really good.
Yeah, I heard they did a really good like asexual character in there, like ace community Todd. Representation.
He's amazing. Yeah. And they like really hyper focused on him, on the asexual portion of his character this season.
Oh, okay, even better because like that's never shown on anything ever.
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 Tell me about it.
And What else have we been watching? I already watched Atypical. We talked about that. I actually really fucking like that show now. Thanks a lot, Maite. Thanks a lot.
I don't know why you like it. I gave it pretty harsh criticism.
You did, but then, like, I don't know. I started watching it, and I was like, I actually like this. Like, you
didn't just like the one character. The one character I think is fantastic, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. No, I kind of find everything a little charming in that show, so. Yeah, I don't know if that says about me, but I find everything a little charming. I'm like, wow, all I feel so seen. No.
Oh, actually, I guess two characters. I love Ariella Barrera.
Facts. And the Runaways is actually coming back.
Why are you surprised by that? It was announced immediately after, like, the first season.
No, I mean, like, I heard some stuff on Twitter about our two fave queer characters on that show. And
No, don't even start. I don't want to know. I want to be heartbroken when it comes out and when I watch it.
No, no, no. Not about, like, the actual characters in the show. I'm talking about, like, the actors themselves. Like,
oh.
I heard they have beef. I heard the actors have beef.
I haven't heard
and
that.
And I was like, wait a minute.
I've seen them, like, what? I follow a couple of them on, like, Instagram. And I've seen them.
No, it's been pretty recent, they said. Like, maybe, like, the last 2-3 weeks. Like, that's when they started to suddenly have beef. That's the rumor. But I don't know. What do I know?
I'm just going to judge the show on its writing.
No, I'm just hoping that doesn't affect
right.
the actual acting.
I think they're pretty much...
Actors, be
professional. I think they're almost wrapped. You know? I think they're, like, pretty close to being wrapped.
No, I think they're done. I think they're done now.
They're not completely wrapped. I know they were just shooting, like, at the end of this last week, but they might be wrapping up really soon.
Yeah. So hopefully it doesn't affect the acting itself, and that's all I'm hoping for. That's why I'm like, okay, well, like, are you really good actors? We're going to find out, okay? We're going to find out. So, all right. Yeah.
Well, I want to just remind everyone to go rate and review us because that makes us look good.
Yeah, that means we can probably get featured on more lists and we can continue to make episodes and there can be more queer, brown fucking content in the world because we really aren't really visible out here, y'all, if you haven't noticed. But
yeah, there's a ton of new,
so, yeah,
new
keep supporting
people here. Like, you probably haven't been hammered in enough to know, like, that's the number one thing that helps us. Like, Patreon, great, absolutely love you guys, but ratings on iTunes,
yes,
help us, and they're free.
yes, they're free to do, and if you do one, you can just DM us and let us know and we'll send you guys some stickers and
for sure.
You can support from your house, from your casa house, and we'll appreciate it forever. But yeah,
I want to shout out our patrons real quick for our new month, of
yes.
loving us. Lovingly. Okay, well, let me run through all the ones that are on Team Cafecito, aka my team, for the chingona, aka
yes.
Maite, in case anybody doesn't know that.
They don't.
Shout out to Elena. Wait, what?
They don't.
Oh, great. Cool.
No, I'm talking about the general people. The general people. Not y'all. Y'all know who the fuck we are. We love y'all.
Anyways, yeah. So shout out to Elena. She's one of the more recent ones. You're super dope for helping us out every month. And Erica Jackie, thank you for sticking around as well. Noelle, you're still one of our absolute
Noelle,
favorites.
We love
from
you.
High on Life podcast. Thank you for your continued support. And Alicia from Australia. That's, like, the main thing that, like, I associate with you. I want to go to Australia now. You know what I'm really obsessed with? Kangaroos.
Oh, and koalas. If you go, oh, my God, please hold a koala as well. They're my favorite animals.
Yeah. And if you want to go through your faves, go ham. Go for
yes.
it.
Yes. I want to shout out Aaron, who I love, and... Love you the most, boo. Let's get together and continue talking Pokemon. Shout out to Glow, my bae. I love you. You're my favorite human. Raciel, oh my God, you're so cute and adorable and fun. And we get to hang out now. And so shout out Raciel forever. We're going to go to a haunted house soon. You know, because we're like best friends now. No.
Okay, fine, sure.
Yeah, he's my other favorite Scorpio. Money Mod, how did I forget you? You're my favorite Sagittarius, like, honestly. Other than my mom, you guys are just, like, the funnest people I've ever met. So, Money Mod, come back to town. Let's eat better sushi, I promise. And then, shout out Chrissy. Like, let me know if you finished watching... what was that show we were watching together? It just ended. It had Rachel McAdams in it. What the fuck is that show? Remind me, my thing.
I have no idea what you're talking about. But Chrissy, you gotta select a reward. Be on Team Cafecito or Team Concha. Because right now you're on no reward status. But you guys, if you guys want to go in there and listen to a bunch of extra episodes and content that we have put out, we do it every fourth week, which is the week that we don't post on here. And you get to have rewards. So get them.
Yes, have rewards. You sounded like an ad for like Walgreens. Like, have rewards now. But yeah.
Join our rewards club now.
Yeah. So yeah, shout out to Chrissy. Let's watch shit on HBO together. And shout out to your puppy. Hope your puppy's doing better.
Thanks everyone for listening to the September recap.
Yes, we love y'all. Thank you.
Go rate and review on iTunes and Facebook and Stitcher.
But yeah, so anyways, we'll be coming back to you guys in a week and having more interesting shit to say. Hopefully, we have some interesting shit coming out your way. And I'll be heading to LA, so it's going to be super, super fucking fun. So,
bye, guys.
Bye.